Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, and I'm Melody Cederstrom. I'm here with my co-host, Dave Allen, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Thursday, October 13th, 2022. Good afternoon, Dave.
Good afternoon, Melody. The month is almost half over.
Isn't that amazing? And I almost called you Pastor Dave.
Hey, well, I've been called a lot worse things. That I would take as somewhat as a compliment. I do get preachy sometimes.
Yes, don't we all?
But yes, a pastor, a formal pastor, I am not. And by the way, happy National Metastatic Breast Cancer Day. Not sure happy is the operative word, but
I was going to say there.
But national, it is. I mean, over 271,000 Americans, mainly women, are diagnosed with this awful disease every year. And I mean, we know metastatic cancer is stage four, invading almost all areas of the body, liver, lungs, brain, lymph nodes, and sometimes more. And of course, October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And while that campaign mainly focuses on preventive measures, especially mammogram, it's also important to know that research continues for a cure for metastatic breast cancer. So all the ladies out there, please, for the sake of yourselves and your loved ones, do those self-exams, get your mammograms done regularly, especially if you feel any symptoms.
Well, thank you, Dave. Thank you for bringing awareness to that problem. Absolutely. I appreciate that very much. I don't know, it's a hard transition to go from that to gold, but I will. Today, things have been all over the page, and it's like, you want to talk about today where nothing makes, where there isn't anything that makes sense anymore is
crazy.
Today. It's a prime day for what? You say, what happened and that happened? But we're going to report on, at least talk about, at least bring it to your attention, and you know, it's going to take me a day to sort of figure things out to see it exactly if it's possible even. So gold today, pressure did come back from the lows of the day quite a bit, 1665. It seems to like that level for a while, but it was down a little over 0.5%, 1665. Silver was still under, it was down, but under 1%. We had a high of $19.26 at the open this today. Now we're at $18.95. Platinum was up 17. The only positive precious metal was up almost 2% at $909. Palladium was down 30 at $2,184. Platinum is a buy. It really is at these levels. It has been for a very long time. The USDX today did come down a little bit, 0.81, but it's still up there at 112.45. Crude oil, this bizarre, it's up 1.82 at 89.02. I saw a headline not too long ago, right before the program, where I thought the floor fell out of out underneath the crude oil, but it's up $1.82 at 89.09. So that's not so bad. Now the markets from being down, you know, you had a 1,300 point intraday turnaround. 1,300 points. You got to be kidding me. Now, that took some doing. A lot of doing coming from those who have the ability to do so. And the Dow finished up above the key 30,000. It was up almost 3%. $30,038. The S&P was up 2.60%. At 3,669, the NASDAQ was up almost 2.25% at 10,649. Did the Asian markets fare as well? No, they didn't. They were all down. Did the European markets fare? Well, they did. They did good. They were all up. Well, the only two, the DAX, Germany and France, they were up 1%. 10-year yield, 3.96%. That continues to go higher. And, of course, oil, natural gas was up 4%, 6.69%, 6.69% on oil, on natural gas, I should say. So those were a lot of the numbers. Can you believe that day, a 1,300-point intraday turnaround?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the S&P was crazier.
You know, I mean, unbelievable on these numbers. And, you know, why? What was the
5% difference? 5% change from low to high. Crazy.
It's real crazy. So, folks, do you think that's really normal out there? And, Dave, if you could go ahead and do that
talk about the inflation?
Yes, please. If you could start that, please.
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, it's all the zaniness happened. Well, some of it happened before, right before the Department of Labor's September CPI report came out. And then it did come out, and the markets tanked. And just as quickly, almost, they just did an about-face. So, I mean, we've learned that inflation pressures continued to weigh on the economy last month. Department of Labor's Bureau of Labor Statistics reported that this consumer price index increased 0.4% in September, slightly more than the 0.3% estimate. On a 12-month basis, the so-called headline inflation rate's up 8.2%, and that's off its peak of about 9% in June, but still around the highest level since the early 80s. And it's rattling a lot of people from all walks of life. The government report initially rattled the financial markets, as we mentioned, stock market futures plunging again and treasury yields moving up as traders priced in likely more aggressive interest rate hikes ahead from the Fed, which meets November 1 and 2. However, those earlier losses reversed in morning trading, and the Dow Jones was up over 600 points, well, close to it, by 12 noon. I mean, go figure. As I just mentioned, the S&P had an intraday change of over 5% from low to high. Economist Michelle Meyer at the MasterCard Economics Institute says that the more inflation comes in above expectations, the more the Fed's going to have to prove their so-called commitment to bringing it under control, which means higher interest rates and colder cooling, we'll call it, in the underlying economy. And this is in an economy that's already shrunk two straight quarters, likely again in the third. We'll know that in 2 weeks. Now, another large jump in food prices boosted the headline inflation number. The food index rose 0.8% in September. Now, that was the same as August, but still up 11% from a year ago. That helped to offset a 2.1% decline in energy prices. That included a nearly 5% drop in gasoline, although, you know, energy prices have moved higher this month, with the price of regular gas at the pump nearly 20 cents higher than just a month ago, according to AAA. The closely watched shelter costs, which make up about a third of CPI, rose 0.7% last month, and they're up close to 7% from a year ago. Did I say 7% or 0.7%? They rose in September. And transportation services also showed a big bump, 1.9% for the month, and just about 15% annually. A lot of that just rising airfares as Americans were getting back into airplanes, not at full pre-pandemic mode, but certainly on a path toward it. Now, these rising costs mean more bad news for workers whose average hourly earnings declined a tenth of a percent for the month, and on an inflation-adjusted basis are off 3% from a year ago. That's big news. Now, some might look at that as, well, that's what the Fed is looking for. Certainly households aren't, but that's certainly what the Fed's inflation, anti-inflation campaign is designed to do. So inflation is rising, though, despite these aggressive Fed efforts to get price increases under control. And I mean, since March, they've already raised rates a full 3 percentage points. Today's data likely cement a fourth consecutive 75 basis point hike when they meet in a couple weeks, with traders now assigning a 98% chance of that move. That's up from 68% just a week ago. The chances of a fifth straight three quarter of a point hike in December are also rising, with futures now pricing in nearly a two-thirds probability after the release of today's inflation data. And that would take the Fed funds rate to an upper range of 4.25%, 4.75 by the end of 2022. And at the beginning of the year, 0 to 0.25. Vehicle prices fell, apparel fell, egg prices even dropped 3.5%, but they're still up 30% from a year ago. And again, airfares rose 0.8%. They're up 43% on average from a year ago. Crazy report today, and it's going to have significant impacts, both positive and negative. Certainly one of the positive impacts in the short run anyway, which you can talk about in a minute, is its impact on the Social Security cost of living adjustment.
Yeah, but you know what, Dave? If you go back to what was reported about the jump in food prices.
Yeah.
I mean, the 8% rise in, you know, Social Security COLA is not going to do much. You know, it's something, but it isn't going to do much. It's not going to be able to cover all the increases in the costs for the senior citizens that are on a fixed income and depend on Social Security. So, you know, it's, I mean, this is one of the biggest increases in 40 years, but it's still paltry compared to what really is happening throughout the economy and throughout these folks' pocketbooks. And so, you know, some of these benefits, you know, will go up to $1,800 if they were getting $1,600 in this year. Seems like a big jump. It's like, wow, it's $200, $150, $200. But what are your food costs going up? And that's what no one fails to draw, you know, comparisons to. And especially on mainstream media, they don't really show what the true impact of what this was. The last time the cost of living adjustment was higher than was in 1981, and that increase was 11.2%. So it'll be interesting to see what next year's is, because things aren't, you know, I just don't see how raising these rates will bring the prices down.
Well, you know what, Melanie? I've got a project for us to talk about.
Okay.
I'm going to, I don't know how people will take it, but listeners, you don't have to feel helpless. As Melanie mentioned, you know, mainstream media not discussing these. These are the same people, along with politicians, that tell us unemployment's just 3.5%. That's absurd. I mean, the U6, the government's U6 rate, which includes the short-term discouraged job seekers, and those who are working part-time who want full-time jobs, that's 6.7, almost 7%. Shadow Stats John Williams just had an interview where he says applying the government's older methodologies that they used decades ago that used to include the longer, the quote, longer term discouraged job seekers, the ones who essentially stopped looking because they couldn't find anything. You include them with the U6, it's 24%. So, I think our project will be, and if we do decide to go to do this, we're going to do it methodically. We're going to do it through a newsletter article or a blog. We're going to start a letter writing campaign to all these cable news networks and financial news networks. We're going to tell them, your consumers say, you've got to start telling the truth. Start reporting the U6 numbers at a minimum, in addition to more accurate inflation numbers. We deserve it.
You know, and it's true, but I mean, it's do you realize what would happen if they actually really did start reporting the real numbers? You know, the paper markets.
Yeah, I know.
Would collapse.
Yes.
That's the real reason. I mean, I had a conversation today where you got some like BlackRock, you got Vanguard, and so many of these that control so much of the paper markets, and so they just control so much. How do you think you get a 5% turnaround and a 1300 point turnaround intraday on these paper markets and so forth? And they control the news, and they control it's so the poor guy out there who's on a fixed income and can't quite figure out why he's not making it, because everybody else in the world seems to be doing jolly. They're not, and it truly is sad that they can't do the truth. We have number of Americans applying for unemployment benefits that rose a little bit last week, but it still is historically low, and we know that the economy is slowing. Jobless claims for the week ending October 8th rose by 9,000 to 228. The four-week moving average, it shows a little bit better trend, ticked up by 5,000 to 211,000. And of course, these numbers are going to continue. I mean, there won't be any bad reporting until after the election. And I don't know what's going to happen after the election, Dave. I don't think will... just hold together quite as well as what they are right now. You're not going to have a 1,300-point intraday turnaround like we had today after the election. But what you're going to have is us going into another break. We're our first break anyway. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csetalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom. Visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter and our blog that comes out that David publishes every week, and he does a great job on that. And dgscoins.com. Premiums continue to rise. Things get a little more harder. There isn't a single silver product out there that doesn't have some sort of a delay on it. Anywhere from 3 weeks, 2 weeks, 90% silver, the premium, that's jumped $2 and just, that's wholesale, over the normal wholesale increase in just, less than a week. It's huge. You got 2 weeks on Silver Eagles, 3 weeks on Canadian Maples. Oh, this is all silver. Philharmonics, you got 3 weeks. Brits and Kruger Ands, you got a call to see the availability. 90% is 1 week out. Buffalo Rounds, 2 weeks. Bars, Buffalo Bars is 3 weeks. So a lot of waiting on that end for the silver. Your gold, Canadian Maple Leaves has a 2 week delay on that, and that's because I don't know what they do. They're the ones who really, when the mint, when the Canadian mint releases their coins, they must ship them to the U.S. By the old Pony Express or something, because it just always takes them forever. It's worse than the USPS. So I think that's what the real 2 weeks is for the Canadian maples. But the premiums, I've never seen premiums so high. And my thought is, it's relatively calm. It's the end of the year. This is the first time I've seen the end of the year push on premiums from 1 year to the other happen so early.
Are the wholesalers trying to discourage retail sales?
Pardon?
Are the wholesalers trying to discourage the retail sale?
No, there's just a limited supply, because what happens is you have these mints that change over from 1 year to the next year. This is part of the problem. They change over from 1 year to the next year, so they have to shut off the minting of the current year. And so there's only a limited amount of inventory there. So, and the mint then only decides to release, they change their allotments, because the mint then controls what they release and what they sell. And so the premiums just, skyrocket. And then it flows over to the foreign gold, because, those premiums are getting so high. I mean, I was selling Canadian Maple Leafs for a lower price than a Kruger Ant just 2 weeks ago. And now they're a ton higher. American Gold Eagles are selling for $100 more than a Canadian Maple Leaf. $100 more. I mean, that's incredible. So, but that will keep people from buying. That will slow it down. And because, it shouldn't. But it will keep people will stop and they'll think, well, maybe I'll wait. Well, I'll tell you what, with these premiums this high, I don't know if there will be product in January. If the market, the stock market suddenly crashed and we're already 2 and 3 weeks out and there really isn't anything happening except inflation. There will be no product to purchase. And these premiums might seem cheap. So don't let premiums stop you from buying. It's a long term. There's things that you can buy. You can cost average some things if there's a particular item you want. Krugerrands are still the deal of the day. $100 over spot. So it's the deal of the day. Krugerrands, 1 ounce gold Krugerrands. So call us, 800-375-4188. We're going to touch on this. The average rate on 30-year continues to climb, 6.92% from 666 last week. Last year at this time, the rate was 56% lower. It was 3%. That's going to put a damper on the housing market. The average 15-year fixed rate mortgage rose to 6.09% from 5.9%. And usually, Dave, yeah, I mean, that's almost a 1% difference from a 30 to a 15. It used to be greater than that. You know, I can remember when you get a little bit better deal on that. But anyway, anything else you'd like to apply to the mortgage rates?
Well, just that, you know, this is one area where the Fed has really had an impact. Existing home sales have fallen now for 7 straight months. New home buyers getting more and more out of reach in terms of affordability. And, you know, I guess that's the main point that I think clearly on the verge of, if not already in, a housing recession. And it's likely to get worse, if not substantially worse, over the coming months.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we talk about inflation and the impact that it has on folks and how they're feeling financially. And right now they're feeling very vulnerable with this higher inflation that they've never experienced before. You know, they never really, because people really couldn't understand when we talked about inflation, the general populace out there, what'd they know? Once in a while, they heard the Fed talking about 2%. You got all the cheap trinkets coming in from China that made, you know, things seem cheap. The big ticket items like TVs and computers, those prices went down because they all came from, you know, overseas. So they really don't know how to act when it comes to a longer term inflationary trend that we're experiencing now. So 46% of people now call their personal financial situation poor. That's up from 37% in March. Now, this is all from the Associated Press. It's NORC, Center for the Public Affairs Research. NORC, Center for Public Affairs Research. Now this, people think could make an impact on the elections. And this, that's a notable downturn. And so I don't know, Dave. 50% say their finances are good in the latest survey. That figure was at least 62% through the global recession caused by the COVID in 2020. Even in late 2021 and early 2022, as prices began to rise across this country. But this prolonged inflation has left the U.S. and the wider world facing, you know, not the possibility of a downturn. We are in a downturn. And more people are beginning to feel the pain. Heck, we've even reported on people making $250,000 or living paycheck to paycheck. It goes to show you what your dollar buys anymore. When you're making $250,000 and you have to live paycheck to paycheck and are concerned. Prime example of your dollar buying less and less. So,
yeah, indeed. The drop in financial well-being was especially notable among Americans whose households are less than 50,000 a year. Just 33% of them now call their personal finances good, compared with 50% of that group in March. 61% in households making between 50 and 100,000 say things are good, as do 75% of those making more than 100,000. Interestingly, same poll, 23% overall of the respondents call the national economy good. That's similar to the prior month, similar to June, but down 6 percentage points from September. So a lot of things going on. Of course, gas has been going up the last couple of weeks after that 99-day drop from June to September. We'll see in a couple of weeks the impact it's going to have on voters going to the polls, Melody.
Absolutely. And I don't know how those elections are going to turn out. You know, it just depends on who you listen to and what you listen to. Gives you any hope. But it truly is. I mean, some of those elections in Pennsylvania, Dave, are just bizarre. Just literally bizarre. And
tons of ads. Just about every ad in prime time, regardless of what channel, but particularly if you're watching a news channel, is either the Pennsylvania gubernatorial or the Pennsylvania U.S. Senator fight. It's all encompassing, and it's throughout the day.
I can't even. What is it? Is it Fetterman?
John Fetterman, the Democrat.
Versus
Mehmet Oz, the Republican.
I mean, I'm not a fan of Oz, but I'll tell you what. How does a person like Fetterman even get to the position and stay there with all his problems?
What's all his problems? He's a vintage, and some people say he's the perfect candidate for Pennsylvania's blue-collar mentality.
Oh, my. Are you kidding me?
Mentality. No, I'm not.
Are you kidding me?
Not at all. I mean, I think people are put off by him, and certainly I think he is an outlier in this respect, because you see him virtually all the time walking around in a hoodie. He's got a thing coming to him if he happens to win next month, because he won't be allowed to wear those hoodies on the floor of the Senate.
Well, I hope he doesn't make it, because, I mean, even his health. I mean, don't people even think his health is an issue? Doesn't that matter anymore? I mean,
what, the fact that he had a stroke?
Well, no, the fact that he can't have I saw where he couldn't have an interview unless he had it on some sort of a computer program that he could function. I mean, I can't imagine that you're close to death. And I think he had a pretty major stroke that you come back and being normal 6 months later, mentally. I'm not a doctor, but common sense, I would think. I don't know. But,
You got that versus a charlatan like Oz. So, you know, it's sort of like
the
choice between a broken arm and a broken leg.
All politicians are charlatans, regardless of what side they're on. It's hard for me to believe that Fetterman would be for the blue collar guy when I saw some of the things that he's. But there's races like that all across this country. And it just amazes me that this is the best that the country can do, bringing these people in supposedly such a position. And this is the best that we can do. It's pathetic. It truly is. Talking about inflation earlier, you know, it's just, we keep looking. I mean, the numbers that keep coming out dash at anybody's hopes that, you know, things are going to get better with the tightening of the Fed. And what's interesting is with the Fed beginning to, you know, continue with these aggressive, with this aggressive tightening is really going to wreak major damage to these economies, to the global economies. So you're going to get inflation number down a little bit, but what's going to be left? I mean, this world lives on low rates. That's what supports all of these economies, and everything is low rates. And with these higher rates, just trying to beat inflation down, people aren't going to be able to survive. They're not going to be able to live, Dave. They're not going to have jobs.
My question is, what's the benefit of low inflation when there's no one working because they've been laid off because their economy has tanked?
Exactly. It won't come back either, because as soon as it would come back, you're going to have the same situation. So he's going to have to start lowering. I don't know. He's between the rock. The world economies are between a rock and a hard place. There isn't anything that they can do, and
except do what they do, which is
screw it up even more.
Yep. Overreach on the downside, overreach on the upside.
Yeah. So it's I kind of skipped over a little bit on that because that's just the way I see it. It's you know, even falling energy prices. If you look at gasoline, there's still areas in this country where you're looking at $5, $6. Diesel. Look at diesel, still $5.
Yeah, that's nuts.
It's crazy. And so people might focus on the little bit of a reprieve that regular gasoline received, you know, from $5 to what it is, but I don't know, Dave.
Well, you know, is it excessive demand? Is it lack of supply? You know, is it across all industries or just some? Myself, I think it's across all industries. It just happens to be, I wouldn't even say it's better in some. I would just say it's worse in others. generally bad. And again, you see all this pushback, members of the Fed, the policymakers themselves, you know, in speeches keep saying right now, you know, don't talk about ending these rate hikes anytime soon. You know, they could do one, you know, another percent and a half in November and December, even if they do 350 basis point increases in early next year. What do they do when recession is just flashing off of everyone's foreheads? It'll be too late.
It'll be too late. And then what are they going to come by? But anyway, we're heading into a break. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And one more time today, welcome back to Financial Survival, sponsored by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. Dave Allen here, filling in for Melody this final segment. She does other client business. Now, here's a topic we haven't talked about in some time. We've been talking about it a lot. Last couple of years off and on, but the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, today announced plans to ban U.S. sales of new devices from Huawei and ZTE, both based in China for national security reasons. Move marks the first time the FCC has banned electronic equipment on national security grounds. And it closes a vice that began tightening during the Trump administration. Ban marks the culmination of years of warnings from security experts and the intelligence agencies that the Chinese government could use these Chinese-made telecom hardware and software to spy on Americans. Well, the price could come in higher costs for some smaller telecommunication providers that favored the Chinese company's products thanks to their aggressive pricing. Just last week, FCC Chair Jessica Rosenworcel circulated a draft among her fellow commissioners that would effectively ban new equipment sales in the U.S. from firms that pose a threat to national security. Not just those two I mentioned, but primarily them, since they make up a big chunk of that kind of purchasing. The FCC order would ban companies from using federal funding to buy equipment from those firms. The new order would extend this ban to all purchases. Now, the order will also determine the scope of a ban on sales of video surveillance equipment used for public safety. It's a big deal in both big and some medium-sized cities, in particular here in the U.S. Would affect Chinese companies Hetera Communications, Hikvision, and Dahua Technology. Now, the ban isn't retroactive, so the companies can continue to sell products that the FCC previously approved. Got a Hikvision spokesperson who said, Hikvision presents no security threat to the United States. I wouldn't expect them to say anything other than that. The FCC was required to vote in the order within a year of the passage of the Secure Equipment Act, which Joe Biden signed into law last November. That law, you may know, required the FCC to ban equipment sales by companies that pose a, quote, unacceptable risk to national security in the U.S. In 2021, FCC Commissioner Brendan Carr called on the agency to close the so-called Huawei loophole, which allowed companies like that to use private sector money to buy equipment from the firm because the FCC still authorized sale of its devices. Well, it looks like the FCC is indeed headed in that direction. Now, following up on that, it's a sharp context on this FCC ban of Huawei and ZTE stuff, which we see as making headlines in some of the mainstream newspapers. This context today comes from columnist Tom Friedman with this eye-opening headline, quote, "We are suddenly taking on China and Russia at once." Now, the struggle with China, Friedman writes, is less visible and involves no shooting because it's being fought mostly with transistors that toggle between digital ones and zeros. But we'll have as big, if not bigger, he continues, an impact on the global balance of power as the outcome of the combat between Russia and Ukraine. And it has little to do with Taiwan. It is a struggle over semiconductors, the foundational technology of the informational age. This is still Friedman's words. The alliance that designs and makes the smartest chips in the world will also have the smartest precision weapons, the smartest factories, and the smartest quantum computing tools to break virtually any form of encryption. Now, Friedman continues, the struggle with Russia is indirect, but obvious, escalating and violent. We are arming the Ukrainians with smart missiles and intelligence to force the Russians to withdraw from Ukraine, but how does this war end, he asks. No one can tell you, he answers. Bottom line, Henry Kissinger has warned against confronting China and Russia at the same time for many decades. He does so again, but Friedman writes that there's a strong case for doing so now. Quote, but have no doubt, we are in uncharted waters. I just hope that these are not our new forever wars. Interesting perspective. Now, a little more on the technical side, in the Social Security COLA, which applies to about 70 million Social Security and Supplemental Security Income, or SSI, beneficiaries. The annual change, the COLA, is based on the Consumer Price Index for urban wage earners and clerical workers, called CPIW. The SSA calculates, the annual COLA by measuring the change in the CPIW from the third quarter of last year to the third quarter of this year. Now, benefits don't necessarily go up every year. I mean, more recently, there was a 5.9% increase in 2009, but zero increases in each of the following 2 years. And it happened back in the late 70s, early 80s as well, when you had, at the time, the highest, among the highest annual COLAs ever. Dan Adcock of the Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare explains, quote, for seniors, because they spend so much in healthcare, those years were difficult. A similar pattern may happen over the next few years if or when the economy goes into recession, depending on how deep it gets. If you claim Social Security benefits now, you'll get access to an 8.7% COLA, but you also have access to it if you wait to start your benefit checks at a later date. Remember that. So if you're 62 now, or 3 or 4 or 5, and don't claim, your benefit's still adjusted by every COLA until you do. Whether it's 66 years and 4 months, at age 70, or somewhere in between. And remember, delaying benefits can increase the size of your monthly checks. In fact, experts generally recommend that most people wait as long as possible until age 70, because benefits increase, under current law, 8% per year from your full retirement age, again, generally now 66 in a couple of months, to age 70. And whether that strategy is ideal will depend on other factors, like your personal health situation, in particular, how long you think you're going to live, as well as your marital status. The amount of COLA last year, this year, or next, in other words, really shouldn't influence when you claim your benefit. It doesn't hurt you or help you because you're going to get it either way. So right now, Social Security's two trust funds, they say, can pay full benefits through 2035. That's according to the Social Security Board of Trustees in June. At that time, the board projected in 2035, the program will be able to pay just 80% of benefits without further congressional action. The higher than usual 2023 COLA could accelerate the depletion of those trust funds by at least one calendar year. That's according to the Nonpartisan Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget. But higher wages could force workers to contribute more payroll taxes into the program, which would help to offset that. In 2023, maximum taxable earnings will increase to $160,200, up from $147,000 this year, which means the employee share of Social Security, 7.65%, will be withheld until the employee reaches $160,200 in earnings. After that, there are no further withholdings for the rest of the calendar year. And whether the CPIW is the best measure for the annual increases continues to be up for debate. Some tout the CPIE, the Consumer Price Index for the elderly, as a better measure than CPIW for the costs that seniors pay. We won't get into that today. We'll wait perhaps a long time until Congress is talking about it. Multiple Democratic, in particular, congressional bills have called for changing the measure used to calculate annual increases to the CPIE. All right. Well, as Melody mentioned earlier today in the market report, volatile trading marked today's stock market. It's crazy. Dow Jones saw over a 1,000-point swing, rising over 500 points after a 500-point drop earlier in the day. The S&P ticked up. What did I say? There was a difference of 5% between their low and high. Crazy. Same with the NASDAQ. Stocks rebounded after hitting their lowest level since 2020, led by gains in mainly in energy and bank shares. For example, shares of Chevron gained more than 3% as the oil prices spiked, and stocks of some of the too-big-to-fail banks like Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan Chase rose 2.9% and 4%. A reversal in big-name, big-tech names like Apple and Microsoft, plus a surge in semiconductors, NVIDIA and Qualcomm, contributed to NASDAQ's move higher. In addition, analysts are speculating that investors may be betting that today's stronger-than-expected inflation report means price increases will peak soon. Good luck with that. Charles Schwab's chief investment strategist, Lizanne Sanders, said, "We get this last gasp higher in inflation, and from here, we start to decelerate." Well, I think these folks are dreaming, but hey, maybe it's just above my pay grade. In any event, investors also digesting minutes from last month's Fed meeting released yesterday, which shows the Fed expects to keep raising rates until it sees inflation under control. But one comment made some think the Fed might start to slow rates, the rate hikes, if not actually roll them back, if this volatility tumult in the financial market continues. Anyway, going forward, investors are certainly going to be watching the start of the third quarter earnings season. Friday, most of the major U.S. banks like J.P. Morgan, Wells Fargo, Morgan Stanley, Citigroup, will report results. Some investors pricing in peak Fed tightening appear to be contributing to today's market action, especially among those high-speed frequency computer algorithms that I hate. Oanda's Ed Moya says peak Fed tightening is priced in for some, and that's a good enough reason to buy stocks now. Well, still, Moya called the market reversal today a head-scratcher, given that the hot inflation-fueled expectations that the Fed's hiking cycle will likely persist. Art Hogan at B. Riley Financial observed, What's changed? What do we know that we didn't know? Well, we knew the services piece of both core and headline inflation baskets was stubbornly higher, but that's not new information. Disappointing, maybe, but not new. Hogan said the initial sell-off was probably driven by the algorithms, again, that steer computerized trading. You gotta do something about that, SEC. How often have we heard that over the last 5 years? Hogan concluded by saying it was really a knee-jerk move, especially when you juxtapose it with the pop we had before 8:30. The majority of moves we've seen as of late are folks who trade on the edge and do that minute by minute, not month by month, much less year by year. So, look, to recap, the S&P 500 was down as much as 2.4% at session lows during today's morning trading, and up at least by that much at session highs by noon. And that's the widest trading range for the broader market index since March 2020. In the history of the index, the S&P 500 has opened down more than 2% only and closed up more than 2% only four times prior. What a day, ladies and gentlemen. Wonder what tomorrow will bring. Hey, that's all the time we have for today's program. I'll be back next Tuesday. Melody back tomorrow with Butch. Also, be on the lookout for our weekly What a Rush of Gold and Silver blog in your email inboxes in the AM. Thanks always to our engineer, Todd, and to you for tuning into Financial Survival. I'm Dave Allen. Please be safe out there. Have a good evening. Bye-bye.
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.